memory there from last Sunday morning service or last Sunday morning sermon. And tonight, I'm going to go ahead and give you the rest of the signs, the rest of the symptoms of the end times, amen, that the Lord has shown me, amen, to give to you here tonight, amen. So, Matthew chapter 24, amen. And again, the title of this message is Symptoms of the End Times, amen. Matthew chapter 24, let's go ahead and let's pray, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would just have your way tonight, Lord, that you would just minister, God, that you would, Lord, I pray that you would just equip us, God, and prepare us, Lord. Lord, speak to us, God, on this topic, God, of the end times, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to be students of your word, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word, God, that is always on time, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just move here this evening. Bless all those that are watching through Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would move in a special way. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at verse 1 again. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Number two, verse 2, it says, "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and they said, "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Let's pray one more time. Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts. We love you in the name of Jesus. We all said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, last week we started to talk about how a symptom is basically a sign. And here lately, we've been able to see a lot of signs of the end times. Actually, for quite a few years, we've been able to see a lot of these signs that are taking place. And even in the times that we're living in today, there's a lot of questions. People are asking a lot of questions. Are we in the last days? Are we in the end times? And so I pray that through this message, you'll be able to see that we are definitely in the last days. Now, we talked about last week how a lot of times when we talk about the end times, it's not a popular subject because people don't want to think about the end times. People don't want to think about the end times because people ain't ready for the end. People are not ready for Jesus to come back. They're not ready for the end. People still want to continue to live in this world and to live their life and to live their life the way they want to live it and to party and to have fun and to have a great time. And that's great, you know. It's good to have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's good to enjoy life. But when we begin to see the symptoms and the signs, the word symptom is basically a sign of basically something that is unwanted. You know, it's almost like today, there's a lot of talk about symptoms, you know. What types of symptoms does it mean that you might be sick or have a virus? And so, you know, when you think about the symptoms, it's basically a sign of something that is undesirable. And for the unbeliever or for the lukewarm Christian, the end times is undesirable. Jesus coming back is undesirable. See? But for the Christian, it shouldn't be undesirable. It should be something that we desire. It should be something that we long for, that we look for the second coming of Christ. And so, real quick, I want to give you last week we talked about five signs that point to the to being the end times. And so let me give these to you real quick so that I can give you the rest of them. The number one sign, the first one, is that Israel will be back in the land. Amen. We know that for many years, Israel was not in their land. The nation of Israel was scattered throughout the world. Today, we study world history, and we know about world history. There's a lot of There's a lot of things that can teach us about world history. There's a lot of avenues where we can learn about world history. It used to be that it was just taught in school. It was just taught in school, you know. But you could see in just history and newspaper clippings. And when you go to newspaper clippings, you see that there's a lot of newspaper clippings, as like the one that you're seeing on your screen right now, that talk about how Israel was back in the land. You know, when I was young, I remember going to the Dallas Library downtown. My aunt used to take me to the Dallas Library, me and my cousin. And in the Dallas Library, it's a big library, but they would have these machines. And in these machines, you know, you could go and they had like slides that you would put into the machine. And basically those slides, it would show you all the past newspapers. So you could go and they had an archive and you could go pull a past newspaper of back 1967, of November 7th. And you could go look for it in the archive and pull out that slide and then take it to the machine and then put it in the machine, and the machine would pull up the newspaper for that day. And so, you know, so we have things like that that we could go back and look at. And when we think about Israel, the nation of Israel, we got to know that it is proven in history that the nation of Israel was scattered throughout the world. This is why when World War II took place and then Hitler began to persecute the Jews and begin to take them into concentration camps and begin to murder them and slaughter them by the thousands, you know the Jews were persecuted, you know. And then, you know, many Jews were trying to leave, they were trying to flee Germany, they were trying to flee the persecution and the madness that was under Nazi Germany. And there was nowhere for them to go. They didn't have a nation to go to because Israel hadn't been in their land for many, many years. Many years, if not centuries and decades, they had been away from their land. And their land had been overrun by a lot of the Muslim countries. It wasn't until after World War II and in 1948 that finally, after so many decades and centuries, that all of a sudden in 1948, they allowed Israel to go back into their land. The United Nations, or the Allies, actually the Allies, the ones that won the war, the United States and its allies, they came together and they said, well, what are we going to do with, what about all the Jews, you know? And so they, after so many years, they finally decided that we'll allow the Jews to go back to their land, Israel. And in 1948, in a day, Israel was born. The Bible even prophesied that in a day, Israel would be born. And so this was something that was prophesied a long time ago. But the scripture says that whenever you see Israel back in the land, you're in the end times. And when you think about that, 1948 wasn't a long time ago. We're in 2020. That was barely about 70 years ago. Now, that's just barely a generation away, you know? So that was the first sign that we talked about. The second sign was the sign of course, the same thing, the Jewish people back in Jerusalem. And then thirdly, the third sign was that the gospel would be preached throughout the world. The gospel would be preached throughout the world. Matthew 24, verse 14, that's what it says. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world, and then the end will come. That's what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. That's the chapter that we opened up with. And so when we look at what's taking place today, that's what we see. There's missionaries in every country of the world right now. And we are reaching, and the gospel is being preached not only through television now and through the radio, but even through the internet and social media. The gospel now more than ever, the gospel is this scripture can be fulfilled. Before this scripture, I mean, think about when the apostles were living, when Jesus was living, or when the apostle Paul and the apostle Peter were living. This was impossible because the church was barely birthed, but it was hard to reach the whole world just by walking. Matter of fact, you needed, back then, the Western Hemisphere hadn't even been discovered, kind of, you know. America's hasn't even been discovered, even though there was people already here. But you think about all the Indians that lived in North America and in Mexico, South America, They hadn't heard the gospel. The gospel hadn't been, it hadn't touched the Americas. That couldn't have took place in the era of the apostles. But now, of course, we know later on, you know, the pilgrims brought the gospel. The pilgrims, they came and they brought the gospel, and others that came from Europe begin to bring the gospel to the Americas. And then the Americas begin to get Christianized. But even then, there were still so many tribes that were in South America and in Africa that hadn't heard the gospel. In Asia, even Asia being a communist country and having their own gods, in places like Japan. A lot of these places, now of course some of these places were reached by the apostles and some of the early Christians, but it hasn't been still till here lately where we've been able to have the privilege to have TV evangelism and evangelism through the radio that can go through the airways and now through social media and internet. Now, today more than ever, is this verse fulfilled, that this gospel is being preached throughout the world. Throughout the world. This is good news. The gospel means good news. We talked about that. The word gospel means good news.
Amen.
Amen. And this is the message that God has called us to give to the world. God wants us to give the world good news. What's the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins.
Yes, right.
That so that we wouldn't have to die, that we wouldn't have to perish, that we wouldn't have to suffer and face the consequence of an eternity without God, an eternity separated from God, because that's what our sins do. Our sins separate us from God. But it's the gospel message that reconciles man to God. It's the gospel message. It's the good news that makes us friends with God. Because at one time we were enemies with God. When we were lost in our sins and our trespasses, we were enemies with God. We were far away from God. But it's the gospel that brings us near to God. It's the gospel that brings us close to God. And this is the message that Jesus said must be preached throughout the world. And then the end will come. No wonder Jesus said this message must be preached throughout the world. Why? Because it shows his love, that he wants everybody to be saved. The Bible says that he's not willing that no man should perish. No man. No man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is why this scripture is so important. This is why Jesus emphasized it. He says, and this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, and then the end shall come. That's a token. That's a sign of God's love. That shows us God's love, that he doesn't want nobody to perish. And as Christians, we shouldn't want nobody to perish either. And as an individual, you shouldn't want to perish. You shouldn't want to perish in your sins.
Right.
There's so many people that are comfortable in their sins right now. You know why they're comfortable in their sins? Because there ain't no Christians to stand up and tell them about their sins and tell them and show them their sins and allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. And then not only just to leave them there bleeding, but to tell them the good news that even though you're a sinner, that there's an answer, and the answer is Jesus. The answer is what he did on the cross for you. But it's our job. Jesus is not here walking in the flesh with us. He's inside of us. And it's our job to allow him to come out of us through preaching the gospel and telling people about Jesus. However you preach the gospel, maybe it's by sharing this message. Maybe it's by starting a watch party. Maybe it's by preaching at your job. But this gospel must be preached before the end comes.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. This doesn't mean that the gospel hasn't been preached in every country. This doesn't mean that every creature hasn't heard the gospel. You see, every creature can have heard the gospel already, but yet still, Jesus ain't ripping the sky open, coming back yet, because this is just one thing that has to take place. Just one thing out of many that has to take place. Okay? So, we talked about that. Then we talked about, fourthly, about how there's going to be an increase in travel and knowledge. The scripture says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Y'all can move this light because it's blocking my view there. I got a screen up here that I'm kind of seeing what you see. Seeing what you see, so I got to be able to see it. But it says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, it says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And then check this out. It says, many shall run to and fro. Now, that it says run, but... it's translated, many shall go to and fro. Many shall go to and fro. This talks about travel, that travel will increase. And then it says, and knowledge shall be increased. So two things will increase, travel and knowledge. Listen, before, travel was hard. Travel was hard. We talked about last year how Jesus walked everywhere. If Jesus wanted to go to a town to preach to that town, he had to walk there. And oftentimes it would take days for him to get there. If the apostles wanted to preach to the world, they had to walk there or they had to travel by boats. But today, you can be on the other side of the world in the same day. In the same day, because of how technology has caused us to be able to travel quickly. And we see that taking place, that many people are traveling to and fro. To and fro. That's happening. And thank God for that. Amen. Because we're able to use that also. We're able to use that. We're able to jump on a plane and fly to South Africa, yeah, to our brothers in South Africa, and help them preach the gospel. We're able to send missionaries to Panama. We're able to send people, pastors, and launch out churches to Europe and into Russia and into Asia. Because listen, we use also the technology.
Right.
And but listen, before we even knew about planes and the internet and the Google, Daniel had already prophesied it. Through the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me God ain't real. Don't tell me the end times ain't real. Listen, if we look at all these signs that have been fulfilled, what makes you think that Jesus coming in the sky is not going to be fulfilled? Come on, somebody. That should excite you.
Come on.
What makes you think if all these prophecies have been fulfilled? Think about them. Of all these things that I'm showing you have been fulfilled, that in the book, in over 2,000 years ago was prophesied.
That's right.
Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. The Holy Spirit, God gave this verse, gave this word to Daniel over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost 4,000 years ago. This word was given to Daniel. But it is fulfilled today through the internet and through Google. Today, knowledge has increased. If you want to know something, just ask Siri.
Oh, come on.
Just ask Google.
Come on.
And it's right there at your fingertips. That's the fourth sign that we see. An increase of travel and knowledge. Fifthly, the fifth sign is the arrival of the exponential curve. Exponential means becoming more and more rapid. In Matthew 24, verse 3 through 8, the scripture says this. It says, Jesus said, when he's talking about the end times, he says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and would deceive many. We've seen that taking place. You can go and Google people that claim to be Jesus, they've turned out to be false prophets because they die and they never resurrect, and we know that they're not Jesus. Let's move on. Verse 6 says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. At verse 8, all these, check it out, this is the key verse here now. This is the exponential curve. All these are the beginning of birth pains. We talked about this last week, how birth pains come to a woman. When a birth pain comes to a woman, as soon as those birth, what do they call them? Contractions, right? You know, as soon as she gets that first contraction, I got news for you, those that are pregnant. Those contractions ain't going to stop coming. They're going to keep coming. And guess what? They're going to come more rapid and they're going to come more frequent. And what Jesus is saying, when you see these signs starting to come, see, and we've already seen them. I've already just shared with you Israel back in the land, the Jews back in Jerusalem, an increase of travel, an increase of knowledge, you know, all these things taking place. When we see these thing taking place, the signs already started, but then you're going to start to see them come faster. And when the church begins to see the signs come faster, that's what you call the exponential curve. They're coming more rapid. The signs are coming more rapid. And listen, in this year, in 2020 alone, we have seen the signs come rapid.
Yep.
From one day to the next. All this has been predicted and prophesied by the prophets of old and through the scriptures and the Bible. What we're seeing through this pandemic of the coronavirus, what we're seeing through these things that are taking place in our society with social injustice and the craziness and the madness that is spread through all out the world, is something that the Bible told us that are going to happen in the last days, that in the last days there are going to be some perilous times. There's going to be some troublesome times in the last days. That's what the Bible teaches us. So we're starting to see these signs come a little bit more frequent and more frequent. And Jesus said, see, when you see these things happen, look up, for your redemption is near. And so this is the exponential curve. Let me go into the next sign that you haven't heard of. Number six. When we see Israel, the sixth symptom and the sixth sign of the end times is Israel surrounded by enemies. Israel surrounded by enemies. Whenever we see Israel surrounded by enemies, the scriptures say enemies will surround Israel in the last days, in the end times. And these enemies will begin to say different things. In Psalms 83 verse 4, it says that the enemies of Israel will say, come, let us wipe away the nation of Israel. Let's destroy the memory of its existence. And then Psalms 83 verse 12, they say, let us take for ourselves these pasture lands of God. Then in Ezekiel, verse 11, verse 14 through 17, it says, Israel's neighbors will say, God has given their land to us. Now, this is what we see taking place. If you know, if you're not a person that watches the news, some people say, you know, Pastor, you watch the news a lot. Listen, I watch the news because I'm looking for signs.
Hello.
My kids like to say, Dad, your favorite show is the news. You know, I watch it. Sometimes I got to turn it off because it's just too much. But you know what I'm looking for is I'm looking for the signs.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for all the bad news. I'm looking for the good news.
Right.
Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah. And the good news, I'm looking for the prophecies that have been prophesied in the Bible.
Come on.
Huh? Come on, somebody. And this is something that we see. This is what we see. Just in that photo that you see that they put on the screen, we see Israel surrounded by enemies there. We see Israel surrounded by its enemies there. And so if you direct your attention to that photo there, you see Israel is the little red country there. And when you see all the other countries in green, those are all the Muslim countries that hate Israel. Muslims hate the Jews. They are against the Jews. All these green countries want to wipe out Israel. And this is what the Bible foretold. And all these verses that I shared with you, that Israel would be surrounded by its enemies. In Ezekiel 35, verse 10, it says, we will take possession of them. Talking about Israel. What do we care if their God is there? You see, all these things that they're saying, we're going to take the land. Right now, what's the big deal about the Palestinians? The Palestinians want the land of Israel. They want the land of Israel. They want access to the land of Israel. They don't want Israel to have their own country. That's something that we hear in the news. You can go to YouTube and Google it, and you can go to all kinds of news channels, and there it is. The enemies of Israel that are surrounded, Syria and Iran and the Palestinians and all these Muslim countries surrounding Israel, they don't want Israel to exist. They want to wipe Israel off the face of the planet. They want to nuke them. They want to destroy them. They want to take their lands. Ever since the rebirth of Israel in 1948, these Bible verses have been jumping. They've been jumping onto the headlines of newspapers every day. Israel's Muslim neighbors claim the land of Israel for themselves. And they have no regard for the God of Israel. They even talk about our God. The God of Israel is our God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
It's our God. It's the same God. Amen. They want to wipe Israel off the map. They want to wipe them off the map. So all these countries in the map shown, all these countries, and you know, God has allowed these millions of Muslims in these countries that we've seen in green, he's allowed them to surround Israel. He's allowed them. You know, these Muslim countries, they're really descendants of Baal worshippers. When we look and study the Old Testament, this is why you got to know your Bible. And I hope that you're learning. Listen, this stuff right here, this is meat right here. You know, this ain't milk. This ain't lechita. Amen. You know, if you're like a baby Christian, you know, you're going to have to grow up and you're going to have to get some meat into you. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, this stuff right here, this is where you begin to learn. This is where you begin to grow. This is where the Bible becomes real.
Yes.
Huh? And see, you know, these Muslims, these people, these Muslims are the descendants of those who worship Baal. The God of Baal that we see in the Old Testament. And God has allowed these people to grow up around Israel, and these Muslims to grow up around Israel. Baal was the moon god, okay, in the Old Testament. Baal was the moon god. And even today, the symbol of Islam is a crescent moon. I wish I had that picture that I would have gave him, I would have put on the screen. But you know the symbol of Islam. Even today, the symbol of Islam is a crescent moon. Why? Because they're descendants of the Baal worshippers.
Wow.
And the Baal worshippers were always coming against the people of Israel and always trying, from the Old Testament till today, they've always tried to wipe out Israel from the face of the land.
Wow.
That's another sign of the end times. It's another sign of the end times that Israel would be surrounded by their enemies, and today Israel is surrounded by enemies.
Wow.
Huh? But the next sign is the reason why, even though they're surrounded by enemies, they're not overtaken. And the next sign is this, number 7, Israel's exceedingly great army. You know that Israel has one of the most powerful armies in the world? Despite its small size that we see on the map, despite the small size of it, Israel has a great army. And the Bible predicted that Israel would have a great army. You remember Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 10, or chapter 37, where it talks about the valley of the dry bones. Remember? A lot of priests, a lot of pastors, a lot of preachers like to preach that message. But that's a prophetic word right there. Because Ezekiel really is, you know, some people say, well, they just like to preach it for the church, and you know, but it's really a prophetic word saying that in the last days, Israel is going to have a mighty army.
Right.
In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 10, he says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them." Remember the bones, the dry bones? And God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones. And then what it says, they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. A vast army. God foretold back in Ezekiel, long time ago, that Israel would have a vast and an exceeding great army. Huh? So, Zechariah said Israel will be like a fire among sheaves in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 6. That Israel would be like a fire among sheaves. You know what that means? That means that fire is burning up all those sheaves. That fire is burning up all those sheaves. And ever since 1948, Israel has been burning up those nations around them. Huh? Those nations have been trying to come and attack Israel and to take their land, but they haven't been able to do it. Why? Because Israel is like a fire among sheaves. Huh? And then it also says in Zechariah chapter 12 verse 8, it says that every soldier, even the weakest soldier in Israel will be like David. You know David the mighty warrior? Yeah, you know David, the one who slew the lion, the bear, and the giant Philistine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That David. In Zechariah chapter 12 verse 8, it says that the weakest soldier of the army of Israel will be like David. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David would be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. That's how the Israelite army, that's how Israel's army is today. They're a strong army. Since 1948, Israel has fought no less than four wars, conventional wars, against all of its neighbors. Despite it being outnumbered 50 soldiers to one. Get that. Despite being outnumbered 50 soldiers that the enemy had, Israel only had one soldier. But despite all that, Israel still won every single one of those battles. Why? Because God was fighting for them. This is why I know that we're going to come out victorious.
Yay.
This is why I know that it's going to be okay. You know why? Because God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness. God got our back. And if God is for us, then who could be against us, my friend? If God is on our side, I feel bad for the enemy, because we come out victorious, my friend. We don't lose, my friend. We're called Victory Outreach, my friend. Not losing outreach, Victory Outreach. Because God always gives us the victory, because God is on our side.
Right.
Israel has a great army today. The next sign is the rise of Gog. Is the rise of Gog and Magog alliance. There's an alliance of, and this one's a little tricky here, the rise of Gog and of Magog, there's an alliance. What this means is that Ezekiel had said, in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8, Ezekiel said that a military alliance that includes Russia, Iran, Turkey, and a number of Muslim nations will attack Israel in the later days. This is an alliance that will come together. An alliance that will come together in the last days. A group of nations that will come together. And this hasn't happened yet. Before, it was just one nation trying to come against Israel. But Ezekiel prophesied that there's going to be a group of nations. And this group of nations, the Bible calls them the rise of Gog and of Magog. This is an alliance of nations and of armies that will come together, that will finally try to kick Israel off and destroy Israel, but it won't happen. It will fail. Because as soon as that's when the battle of Armageddon comes. You see, the last battle. That's not even going to really be a battle, because that's when Jesus is going to come real quick and just wipe them off the planet. And that's when the end will be really the end, or at least the beginning of the end, or the beginning of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we'll get to that even later on. So this will happen when God brings his people home from among the enemy nations. Ezekiel said they will attack Israel from the north in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 15. And in Ezekiel 39, verse 2, it says that this attack will come from the north. And there, the scriptures are there on the screens for your reference. But this attack will come from the north. Today, Russia, Iran, and Turkey all have military forces stationed in Syria. Syria is directly north of Israel. All three of these reside on Israel's northern border. And and you know what they're doing today? Today, they have a variety of coordinated activities, war activities, or they call them war games, that these nations, Iran, Russia, and Turkey, they come together and they have like little war games where they practice war, you know. And they're practicing for what? They're practicing for one day to invade Israel. That's what they're practicing for. So together, these nations, they form the core of Gog and of Magog alliance together. So this is happening. This is happening. We already see it taking place today. They're already allies today. Turkey, Iran, and Russia, they're already allies today. They already have troops in Syria. This war can happen at any time. Number 9, the rise of global governments. And I had a slide for that. I don't know if they showed it to you, but I had a slide. But it's okay. The rise of global governments. Now, in the last days, a single government will rule the world politically, religiously, and economically. In the book of Revelations, chapter 13, verses 7 through 8, it talks about this. The book of Revelations, chapter 13, verse 7 through 8. Let me find that verse there for you. scriptures up here. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, it says, it was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them, and it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Look down to Revelation 16, verse 17 now. It says, it also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast, of the number of its name. So this is talking about the rise of the global governments. In other words, that it will rule, this one world government, it will rule over all the people, the tribes, and languages of the on the face of the earth. That's what Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 tells us. Its authority will be complete. No one will be able to buy or sell anything without its permission. That's how powerful this one world government is. Huh? For centuries, a true global government was impossible. For centuries. For centuries. When the world started, this was impossible. But today, this is possible.
Yeah.
Today, world leaders openly discuss this. We have the United Nations. You know, we have things like the WHO and organizations like the WHO, the World Health Organization, and so many other organizations like it. Who do you think is heading these things up? These are world leaders that want to put the world under one banner, and they make it seem good. They make it sound good, like that's going to be the end of all of our problems. And sometimes Christians, they want to come against the one world order, but listen, I say to them, what are you coming against it for? Let it happen, because if it happens, Jesus is going to come back.
Yeah.
What are we praying against it for? So many Christians, there's the one world. Listen, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Let it happen, because when it does, Jesus is going to come back.
Amen.
But the problem is that so many Christians want to go to heaven, but we don't want to die or go in the rapture. Listen, it's going to happen, my friend. We got to let it happen. The tenth sign is the denial of the signs. The tenth sign is that people deny these signs. No, they hear about these things and like, no, it's not happening. Almost 2,000 years ago, Peter issued a warning. He said, in the last days, people will mock the idea of Jesus returning. They'll make fun of those who believe in the second coming. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. It says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say in verse 4, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Peter prophesied this. And in the last days, people are going to mock Jesus. Where is his coming that he promised? He promised he's going to come back. It's already been over 2,000 years, and he still ain't came back. And even today, this is taking place. Today, you know, there's even those Christians, that say things like this, that they don't believe in the second coming of Christ. They'll say, I thought Jesus was coming back. What happened to his promise? Generation after generation, he said that he was coming and he still ain't came, they say. Huh? Yet since the beginning of the world, they say that everything has remained the same. Today we hear the same complaints coming from the world. And even unfortunately, we hear it coming from some Christians. that they mock the idea of the second coming of Christ. People will mock this message. What is Pastor doing preaching on the second coming of Christ? You know, today we don't have a lot of viewers on here. Maybe it's because they don't want to hear. Because they disdain. They remember, this is not popular. They don't want to hear. People don't want to hear about the end times. Because to them it's a message of doom. Because sometimes those people are not ready. And sometimes even Christians are not ready.
My God.
You got to get ready. You got to get your house in order.
Right.
You got to preach to your children.
Right.
You got to prepare your heart. Prepare your spirit. Prepare yourself. Cleanse yourself. Get close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus.
Amen.
It's not a time to be playing with God. It's a time to take God serious. Out of all these signs, there's one sign that stands above them all, that points to the end of the age. And this is the last sign. And it's the sign of convergence. It's the sign of convergence. What is convergence? Convergence is when everything comes together. When everything comes together. The number one sign isn't a single sign. It's the convergence of all the signs
yep.
that Jesus and the prophets said to look for. For the first 18 centuries of Christianity, get this, for the first 18 centuries of Christianity, yes, Christianity has been around that long. That means 100 years. Every century is 100 years. And for the first 18th century, we're in the 20th century now. But for the first 18th century, there was not even one of these signs.
Wow.
We couldn't point to not even one of these signs. Today, all of them are here. Today, all of these signs are here and evident. And Jesus said in Luke 21:28, he says, when these things begin to take place, when all these things begin to take place, lift up your head, because your redemption is near. That's what Jesus said. And then in the book of Matthew 24, he also said it in the book of Matthew 24. In verse 33, he says, even so, when you look, he says this in Matthew 24, verse 33. Even so, when you see all these things. You get that? Even so, when you see all these things, you know that that it is near, right at the door.
Come on.
Right at the door. Huh? Like my pastor says, the archangel Mike was licking his lips right now, getting ready to blow the trumpets. Huh? It's right at the door. Jesus is right at the door. Huh? And he says, look up, for your redemption is near. All these signs are why it's never been more important to study Bible prophecy. If the events of the end times are near, you need to know what the world can expect. So you can tell others what's going to happen. People ask, are we living in the end times? Giving the list of signs that we just went through, it's clear we're living in the last days.
Amen.
Okay? We're living in the last days. Get that? Last days. But keep in mind, this is different from living in the end times. Okay? The phrase end times only refers to the last 7 years. The 7-year tribulation that we talked about. We can put that picture up on the screen for them again. The 7-year tribulation that we talked about in the introduction last Sunday. During that period of the 7 years of tribulation, that's the period of the end times. Some people call it the Great Tribulation. Because And because it's good, the trouble's going to be so bad.
Yep.
See? So we're living in the last days right now, but we're not living in the end times or in the great tribulation. If you have to ask if we're living in the end times, the answer is no. Because when it's the end times, we're going to know it's the end times, because the trouble is going to be so bad and the tribulation is going to be so bad that we're going to know we're in the last days. Did you get that? It's going to be so bad that people automatically know, man, this is the end right here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And guess what? You're going to know that for 7 years. This is why you can't be left behind in the rapture.
Right.
This is why you need to give your life to Jesus.
Yes.
Get saved. Stay saved.
That's right.
And be taken in the rapture.
Amen.
And if he tarries and the rapture don't happen in our lifetime, huh? Then we need to teach our children.
Yes.
Because it's going to happen in their lifetime. Chances are heavy that it'll happen in their lifetime. See? So, they're going to be terrible. They're going to be, those times are going to be so terrible. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 talks about that. How there's going to be, that time's going to be so terrible. It says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. You see that? Huh? There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. The end times? Nothing to compare. You think we're going through it hard right now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ain't nothing compared to those times. So we're living in the last days, guys. It's just not the end times yet. Because listen, if it was, we were in the 7-year tribulation, I wouldn't be here. I would be in heaven in the rapture. The rapture would have took me. Come on, somebody. The rapture would have took me. I'd be in heaven. And I pray you would be there with me too.
Yeah. Right.
So in closing, in light of this message, what should be our response? What should be our response in light of everything that we know now about the symptoms of the end times and what we've already seen and we already seen has taken place now? And that it can happen at any time. The rapture can happen at any time. You know, some people, they say about the rapture that, no, you know, the rapture, that the church is going to stay during the tribulation. Some people teach, and this, you know, that's what they teach, teachers, pastors, they teach that the church is going to have to go through the tribulation. They teach that we're going to, or some people believe in the mid-tribulation, that the church will be here for the first 3.5 years, but then in the 3.5 years, then the rapture would take place. And then we won't have to be there for the last 3.5 years, which are the most terrible times. The 3.5 years in the beginning will be decent, because the Antichrist is going to rise up and do a peace treaty with Israel. And he will proclaim like he's a peaceful person and a great person. But the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period of tribulation, that's when the trouble starts. So some people believe, they'll teach that the tribulation is going to take place in the middle of the 7 years. And then some people say, no, that the church is going to have to go through the tribulation, through the whole thing. And then that we won't be raptured until, you know, Jesus comes back after the 7-year tribulation. We don't believe that. We believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation even starts. And the reason why is because the rapture has to be something. Jesus said, it's going to happen. No man knows the day or the hour. That it's going to happen with a twinkling of an eye.
Right, right.
Listen, the rapture can't be true and can't take us by surprise. Like the Bible teaches that the coming of Christ, that he's going to take us by surprise, right? Because it says no man knows the day or the hour. But listen, As soon as we see the Antichrist rise up, and we're going to know it's the Antichrist because he's going to make a peace treaty with Israel, and then he's going to go stand in the holy place, and he's going to do what you call the abomination that causes desecration. Every pastor, every teacher is going to see right through it and say, "Man, that's the Antichrist." But so then what we'll do? We'll start to say, oh, it's time. But Jesus said, we're not going to know the time. So how can we be taken by surprise If we know exactly when Jesus is going to come back, right. Because we see the Antichrist.
Right. Right.
This is why we believe in the pre-tribulation, right. In the pre-tribulation, or that the rapture is going to take place before the 7-year tribulation.
Yes.
Because, see, if it happens like that, then it can take us at any time. No Bible teacher, I don't care what people say. So many people have said, so many teachers and pastors and people say, oh, gee, it's going to happen on this day. You know, there was a couple years ago, they said it's going to happen on this day, the end of the world, this day. And it never happened. Why? Because Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour.
That's right.
This is why the rapture is going to take place first, church. We're going to be raptured. We're going to be taken. The church, the Christian, the believers, the church is going to be taken up, caught up. Like Thessalonians says, we're going to be caught up in the air to meet him. To meet him. And we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen so fast. In less than a second. In less than a fraction of a second. It's going to take place. So what should be our response to all this? What should be our response? Jesus gives us the answer about what our response should be in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25 verses 1. It says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like... This is right after Matthew 24. The whole chapter of Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the last days. And then look at what he says in chapter 25, verse 1. He says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom's Jesus, right?
Yes.
5 of them were foolish. And 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry came. The cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. There may not be enough for both of us and you. There might not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour. Do not know the day nor the hour. So what should be our response? Jesus gives us here our response. He says, stay ready. Stay ready with oil in your lamps. Meaning, you got to have some anointing in your life. You got to have a relationship with Christ. You got to have Jesus inside of you. He's the anointing. You got to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. To be filled with the Spirit of God and be filled with His Word. Not being spiritually asleep. Don't get caught with no anointing oil in your life. Don't get caught with no anointing in your life. Stay prayed up. Stay on fire for the Lord.
Man.
Don't be lukewarm. Don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church.
Man.
Don't be a wishy-washy Christian, but be ready.
Yes.
Stay ready, because you don't know the day or the hour that your master's going to come, that our Jesus is going to come. Some of you are probably not ready. You don't want the end to come. You're living in sin, but I got good news for you. Jesus came to pay the price for your sin.
Right.
And you can get ready by accepting Jesus into your heart.
Right, amen.
You can get ready. You can get your soul ready. I remember there was a time where I wasn't ready, my friend.
No.
And I'm glad that Jesus didn't come back then. Over 20 years ago, I wasn't ready. I was lost in my sins. I wasn't a believer. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I was a sinner, man. I was the chief of sinners. I thank God that somebody told me about Jesus. I thank God that Jesus rescued me.
Yes.
I thank God that somebody preached to me the gospel, the good news. I thank God that somebody preached to me that my way of living was wrong, that the way I was living and sinning was wrong, and that I needed to repent and turn from my evil ways and turn to God and surrender my life to Jesus because He died on the cross for my sins. He shed His blood for my sins to wipe away my sins. Thank God that I made that decision 20 years ago to accept Jesus into my heart.
Yes.
And you can make that decision too. What about your family? What about your friends? What about your neighbors? What about your loved ones that are still lost in their sins? Are they ready? You got to tell them to get ready. We got to tell them to get ready because Jesus is coming back soon. But now more than ever, it's not a time for the Christian to be weak, but for the Christian to be strong. Yeah. Now more than ever, it's not a time for the Christian to hide his Christianity. Now more than ever, it's not a time for us to be hiding in the closet. Now more than ever, it's a time to shout it from the mountaintop.
Right.
That Jesus loves the world, that Jesus is coming back, and that people need to repent. Repent from their ways, repent from their sins, and come to the cross of Calvary. Give your life to Jesus. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, that you shall be saved. But if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Jesus came into my life 20 years ago when I said that prayer, when I confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart, gave my life to Jesus. He came into my life and He changed my life.
Yes, yes.
Change, man. He can change you too. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through today. He can change you. I don't care if your marriage is on the verge of divorce. He can change you.
Right.
Maybe if you change, maybe your marriage will be saved.
Oh, yes.
Maybe you're addicted on drugs, alcohol. Jesus can set you free.
That's right.
If you let Him into your heart. So if you're ready to accept Jesus into your heart, I want you to say this prayer with me. If you're tired of that old way of life, you want to change, if you don't want to be left behind, you want to be ready for the end, then give your life to Jesus and say this prayer with me. Repeat this prayer. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I know you're the Son of God. You came down to this earth, lived a sinless life, went to the cross of Calvary, hung your head and died, shed your blood for me. Your blood washed away my sins. I believe that. You died on the cross for my sins. You were buried in the tomb. And I believe that on the third day, I believe you resurrected from the dead. I believe you resurrected from the dead because you are the Son of God. You are God with us, Emmanuel. I believe that with all my heart. Come on, say that prayer. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus. If you said that prayer, I want you to know you're saved now. Jesus, He wiped the slate clean. He has covered your sins with His blood. His blood was shed for you. And all your sins, He has thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember them no more. He's not like people that bring up your past. No, Jesus He's paid it in full and He's forgot about it. And He's the one that's going to allow you into heaven. Not man, it's God alone. This is why worship you, God. We thank
this
you.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We love you, Jesus. Prepare our hearts, God, for your second coming. Prepare our hearts for your coming, Jesus. We want to be ready. We don't want to be caught slipping, Lord. Seal this word in our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Listen. Listen, amen. Listen. Tonight, amen, we want to pick up a second offering, amen. We want to encourage you to be faithful in your tithes and offerings, amen. And, you know, when this pandemic started, amen, you know, giving was up, amen. Many people were giving, but in the last couple of weeks, giving has gone down, amen. And listen, this is to our church. If you're not a member of our church, you know, amen, you know, don't get offended, amen. But listen, this is kingdom business, amen. And we need you. We need our church to stay faithful in their giving.
Amen.
Amen. This is not a time to hold back the tithe, amen, to hold back in your offering. This is time to give. There's some of you, you know, that you haven't given in a while. And you know, it's, you really need to step up to the plate, amen, because, you know, we need you, amen. We need you as a church, amen. We need to be united. And I want to encourage you to sow a special seed, even if you already paid your tithes. If you haven't, pay your tithes. But if you haven't, even if you already have, then give a special offering.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take care of God's house.
Amen.
We're gonna be back here in the building soon.
Yes.
We're trying to be safe. Amen. We want to be safe. Other churches have opened. Amen. Other churches have opened. You know, and you know, but I love you guys, and I don't want nobody to catch the virus or to get sick. We love you guys, and we know that this is gonna pass.
Right.
Amen. You know, so we're being safe, amen. But just because we're not in the building doesn't mean that we don't have bills. We still gotta pay rent. We still gotta pay the light bills. We still gotta, you know, we're doing some remodeling in the church, you know, and you know, just things that we have to do, amen. We still gotta push the kingdom forward, amen. There's a lot of things that we still gotta do. We gotta do, and God has called us, not just me and my wife. He's called all of us as the body of Christ to come together, amen. And so if this is your church, and if you love your church,
yes,
stay faithful, amen. Stay faithful in giving your tithes, giving your offerings, amen. And let's give to the Lord, amen. Give a special offering. I encourage you to text to give, amen. Send a text message. You know, some of you got the square. Give on the square, amen. You can call in. Call in and you can give, amen, through the square. You can go online to vogp.org. And you can click on the giving button and give in that manner. But let's be faithful, amen. Give a second offering here tonight. And I know we're in hard times. I know we're in hard times. Listen, I know. We're feeling it, amen. Probably some of you are feeling it, amen. You probably got laid off. Your hours are probably getting cut, amen. But let me tell you something. It's still true that we don't live in today's economy. We live in God's economy.
Right.
And just because we're going through a pandemic and we're going through a whatever they want to call it, a recession or a depression or an economic, you know, hard time, right? You know, Wall Street, you know, all that stuff, jobs, you know, just because we're going through that in the world. Listen, doesn't mean that the Bible is not still true. Malachi is still true. Malachi chapter 3 is still true.
Right.
Where it says, will a man rob God? And then it says, you're under a curse because you're robbing me. And then God says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. He says, test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven,
right, yes,
and pour out so much blessing that you don't have room enough to receive it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, what is the area? The tithe. He said, test me in the tithe. Give your tithe and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven.
Amen.
And pour out so much blessing that you don't have room enough to receive it.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you that, listen, even though we may be going through these times in this world, listen, God can still bless you in the midst of famine. God can still bless his people in the midst of a recession or a depression, whatever you want to call it. God can still bless his people, but it happens as his people practice the principles found in God's word and the principles of sowing and reaping. Amen. You need finances? Give finances.
Amen.
You need finances? Give
yes.
finances. Whatever you
yes.
need, that's what you need to sow.
Amen.
If you need love, then sow love.
Amen.
If you want people to be nice to you, then be more nice to people.
Wow.
People will be nice to you. But if you need finances, then sow finances.
Right.
Amen. We're not a prosperity, you know, name it and claim it ministry. You know, ain't no, you know, I ain't driving no BMW, man, and no, you know what I'm saying? You know, no Maserati or anything. Amen. I don't live in a mansion. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, we live in the ghetto. Amen. We live in the hood. Amen. We live, and we do that on purpose to reach the treasures out of darkness. Our men's home is still open. Our women's home is still open. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, tomorrow we're giving away. As a church, we're giving away food.
Come on.
You know, even though, you know, it's hard, we're still giving.
All right.
Come on, somebody. And some of that food we bought. We just didn't get a handout and give them. No, some of that food we bought. Amen. We're giving it away because we're a giving people. I love to give. I'm a giver. Me and my wife are givers.
Amen.
I pay my tithes. Amen. The little income I do get, I pay my tithes.
Amen.
Amen. I give to United We Can. I'm still a United We Can member. I wear my print poly. And I'm a top-notch United We Can member.
Amen.
The top level, I think we get $500 a month that we give. Still, even now, we still give that amount. Huh? And God, you know what? And God meets all our needs. So be faithful, church. Let's be faithful. Amen. And I want you to go ahead and text in your tithe. Amen. Text in. Go to our website. Give on our website. Call. Let call in. Amen. The numbers you see on the screen. Amen. And give on the square. Amen. You can mail in your giving also. Amen. Let's be faithful. Amen. Listen, we love you. Amen. I love you. I'm excited for Sunday. We have our parking lot praise service. We're going to get to see each other. Amen. This Sunday, we're getting things ready. We made the stage bigger. Amen. Praise the Lord. So come on out Sunday. Amen. Listen, it's going to be a little warm, but that's all right. Amen. Bring your shorts. Come in your t-shirt. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bring your fan. Amen. It's going to be a good time. We start early at 10, so it ain't going to be in the heat of the day. Amen. But come on out. Amen. Come on out. Get your praise on in the parking lot. We're going to be social distancing. We have masks. Amen. If you don't have a mask, but if you do have a mask, bring it. We're going to be ready to praise the Lord together. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're excited about this. Amen. And you know, we're getting ready. We are going to eventually come back into the building. The projected date is the first Sunday of July. We'll have our first service back in the sanctuary. Amen. And of course, we're going to have all the safety protocols and all that stuff. Amen. And so we're excited. Amen. But for the month of June, every other Sunday, starting this Sunday, we're going to have parking lot praise. Amen. And then also, amen, praise the Lord. Brother Joe's calling me. You know I'm preaching, brother. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Listen, also on Friday night, listen, we're going to have a Friday night light service. We're going to have service under the stars. Amen. So, amen. Next Friday is going to be our first one. Amen. Next Friday. So come ready. Amen. Come ready. Come on out on a Friday night. Come on out on a Friday night. Amen. Next Friday night, we're going to have worship under the stars. Amen. And instead of starting at 7:30, we're going to start at 8 p.m. Amen. 8 p.m. But we're going to have prayer. Come early for prayer. Come at 7:30 for prayer. We'll pray. We'll shando down. We'll have the chairs set up outside, socially distanced, still wearing our masks. Amen. And we're going to have a great, great time next Friday for our Friday night light service. Amen. And so we're excited. Amen. For that. Amen. So mark your calendar. Be here this Sunday. Super Giver is going to be out for the kids. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow we're giving away food. If you want to come volunteer, amen, come and volunteer, help. Last week we had a great time. It was a blessing to be a blessing. Amen. I thank God for our church. Many of you came out and served. Amen. And it was just a beautiful time. So if you want to volunteer to serve, come out tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the morning. Amen. We need all the help that we can get. Amen. You know, and so tomorrow, 8 a.m., meet us here at the building. And listen, people were already here early waiting for food. Amen. So we doubled up on the food. Amen. We got more food this time. We got over 600 boxes of food to give away. Amen. So come on out. Amen. It's going to be a great time. We were excited, amen, tomorrow morning for the food giveaway at 8 in the morning. Sunday morning at 10 in the morning, we're going to have our parking lot praise service, amen. Praise the Lord. And the next Friday, we'll be here for our Friday night. Fire to Friday together, amen, in under the lights, in the outside. It's going to be a great, great time, amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, we love you. We thank you for tuning in tonight. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Father, we give you all the praise and all the honor, Lord. We dismiss from this place and from this service, but never from your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Worship team, amen. Why don't you praise the Lord?